Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Yes, last week on our first Open House together, we kicked off our new segment, The Human Condition. Each week we're exploring a whole lot of the amazing array of characteristics that make us truly human with clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley. We're kicking off with a mini-series on resilience, which is one of Lynn's specialties. Last week we began with resilience in life. Tonight we're dealing with resilience in families, next week resilience in relationships, and finally resilience at work. Lynn, thanks so much for coming in again on Open House.
It's great to be here.
Terrific to see you. And if you'd like to speak to Lynn, maybe apply what she says to your specific family. If you've had experiences that have shaped your family into a more resilient unit, we'd love to hear from you on 1300 40 2020 or post on our new Open House community Facebook page. Let me begin, Lynn, tonight by asking resilience in families. How would you know if a family was resilient?
It's often really difficult to pinpoint. It's a number of things. Families that show resilience are those that appear to be closer and they grow closer when they've gone through stress. And they also help develop each other. So they sort of develop each other in the process of gathering their strengths in the process of stress. So one of the things that would set a resilient family apart from those who are not resilient is that that family would be open to new ideas. They'd help each other. They'd show less signs of competition, mm-hmm. which is often very, very obvious in families that are pulling apart because they're competing for somebody within the family. They've got a sense of humour.
Okay.
And they also have supportive connections and the ability to deal with conflict in much more constructive ways than families that don't cope.
Supportive connections beyond the family unit?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Does this sound like they're always getting on? It's
no.
The Brady Bunch.
No, it's definitely not the Brady Bunch. It's more like that they're able to bring up the conflict. This is the families that the conflict is obvious, yet it's dealt with much more constructively. So, for example, they don't hide the skeletons.
Okay.
So the skeletons are there, but they're able to discuss the skeletons in ways that aren't sort of like blame and shame and pointing the finger.
Yeah.
And so it's much more constructive and it's sort of like giving each other the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. What are the kinds of experiences or perhaps, as you said before, stresses that families in particular encounter that helped them to develop this kind of resilience? Because I remember you said last week that you, in a way, need those kind of experiences to develop resilience in life.
Now, family itself has a lot of life stages.
Yes.
So, you know, generally people go through stress because they have adversity. But families just have a number of life stages because there's a number of people in them. So, for example, the first stage is when the couple get together and then perhaps they have a child. So that's the first life stage. And then they have maybe a second child. But in between no children to one child to two children, there are transitions. Mm-hmm. And it's usually during those transitions that we see an enormous amount of adapting and stress. And it's those points where we start seeing cracks appear in families when they don't have the ability to deal with the conflicts that come up. Now, those are just normal stresses, and that's just what you call a family life stage, life cycle. But there are other stresses such as moving house, changing schools, jobs, coping with friends who are moving in and out of the family circle, and they all bring stresses and changes.
Yes.
But there are other families, and all of us in most families go through larger stresses as well, such as losing a family member, intense conflict, disabilities, violence, accidents, long-term illnesses, a mental illness, parent separation and divorce, remarriage, etc.
Yeah.
But some people cope, or some families cope a lot better with these stresses and actually become stronger.
So what, if I was to paint a picture of the characteristics of those kind of families who do well with this, what would you say those characteristics were?
These are the families that are much more connected to their communities.
beyond the family unit again.
Beyond the family unit. They're not as enmeshed. Families that are enmeshed, it's a very psychological term. Enmeshed means that they're sort of stuck to each other and they can't let anybody else in.
Okay.
So the families that have got this ability to cope and are much more resilient are much more connected to their communities, and they have other families that they can identify with. They also have regular times when they see each other, like they have family rituals and events, family fun nights or so on. They have skills that they're often known for. For example, they might be all really good at sport, or they might all be really good at reading. They might also have extended family networks, or they hold a family identity that brings a moral code to all of their behaviour. What was interesting is in a study that was done up along the New South Wales coast in all caravan parks, they looked at what it is that made families strong. So they figured that, you know, looking at families that lived in caravan parks would be under significant stress.
Yes.
And what they found was that those families that had gone through trauma and tragedy were more resilient and stronger than other families who hadn't.
It's interesting.
Very interesting.
It's hardly what you'd order if you said,
absolutely,
I want to make this family resilient.
No.
So let's get tough.
No, and you don't want to bring in the tragedies.
No.
But I guess it's a lesson for us in that when the tragedies do come in, we need to be really aware to look at them in a way that says, well, God doesn't send the tragedies, but he enables us as a family to do something that builds us in the process.
Is leading on from that then, is one of the characteristics of a family that copes perhaps better than others a sense of the bigger picture and a sense of faith? Is it too cute to say that?
It perhaps could be, but I think certainly when faith is in there, it certainly makes a difference. It gives a sense of purpose as to why you're together. But I don't think it is necessarily something that, you know, those families who don't have that doesn't mean that they're less resilient.
Oh, no.
No.
I mean, I said last week I've known many resilient people and very robust,
yes,
who would never darken the door of a church in a pink fit. Likewise, some Christian families who are, you know, got terrible troubles in the midst of them. So
yes,
it's no guarantee.
And that's right. And I think probably in some challenges that we have in our churches is that when we have families that are so enmeshed and built into the church, that they're afraid often to leave and go to other churches or other places. And I think the key there is to enable our families to be strong enough to connect, that when the children are old enough that they can fly the coop, that they can do other things, and then they come back with growth.
Yes. And yet I've seen when a Christian community is doing well in looking after people doing it tough, that is gold.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
On The Human Condition, we're with Lynn Worsley tonight for our absorbing topic, resilience in families. As I said a few minutes ago, if you'd like to speak to Lynn, seek some advice for your specific situation or apply what she has to say about your family, what are the experiences you've had, the challenges, the stresses in life that have shaped your family into a more resilient unit? I don't mind saying my own family has had numbers of them. In my wife Meredith's case, I've got her permission to say this, breast cancer 5 years ago. Many of you will know of my own 2+ year journey through chronic fatigue syndrome and unemployment. And it was very tough on the journey through, but we are better for it, and especially our faith is stronger, deeper, bigger for it. So what's your experience? What pearls of wisdom would you pass on? Love to hear from you. We are all ears, always, on Open House, 1300 40 2020. Post on our Open House community Facebook page. Lynn, I always want to see in our segment where the rubber hits the road with resilience in families with the human condition. Can you tell us some of the instances where you've seen how a resilient family has been shaped and how they cope?
Yes, I have a wonderful story about a young man that I saw many years ago. Again, I have permission to tell this story. And he talked about the experience of losing his sister in a car accident. And the driver was under the influence of alcohol. The family were close after the incident, not beforehand. And what was interesting when you talked to the family, and I talked to the family, there was absolute humility. They showed compassion for other people who had gone through similar situations. They had an insight and a perspective into other people that would not have happened had they not lost her. Mm. And one of the interesting things was that when I talked to this young man, he just, he felt alone. He felt different because he had this different moral understanding, I think, than his friends. He didn't particularly want to go to the pub and drink with his mates. He was particularly interested in looking out for others. And when I talked to him about changes in his family, he said through his tears that, and this was an experience I can never forget, that his sister had given him a gift, and that through her death, that it was actually a gift to the family. And that was huge. It really touched me.
Yeah. We're with Lynn Worsley on The Human Condition. What are the kind of things that we should be building practically into our families' lives to make us more resilient?
One of the things that we can do is to do some things together on a regular basis, but to do them which are interesting to everybody, not just, you know, because one person wants to play Scrabble, the rest of the whole family have to play Scrabble. But to do things...
That's hardship.
That is hardship for some people. But to do things together on a, you know, on a regular basis, have regular rituals, you know, like Mother's Day rituals. The other thing is to practice things that take you away from just yourselves. So as a family, to do something that reaches out to other people. And that's often a really helpful thing, which means that we start looking outside and we don't become so enmeshed. To do a project where you go and feed the homeless together or to do something that's outside. And I could keep going on and on, but those two things are particularly helpful. The last one is to practice giving each other the benefit of the doubt. When there's competition in families, when there's competition between members, there's a huge rift that occurs. And once you start giving each other the benefit of the doubt, you start accepting things and not reacting as much.
What golden advice, hardly surprising. Lynn Worsley, thank you so much. Next week we'll continue looking at resilience with a spotlight on how to develop resilience in relationships. Look forward to it as always. Thanks so much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.